Now, someone wrote this years ago, and I wrote it down. I don't remember who the author was, but he said, if we have not found out in our hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the sum and the substance and the foundation of this whole volume, then we have read the Bible with no profit. All the years of our study amounts to nothing if we have not discovered that Christ is all and in all. And what religious knowledge we have will only add to our condemnation in that great day. For our Lord said, if the only light you have is darkness, how great is that darkness? Without Christ, he continued, without Christ crucified, risen, ascended, and exalted, our religion is like heaven without a sun, or a compass without a needle, useless, or a wagon without wheels, or a clock without hands, or a lamp without oil. And our religion will not redeem us from sin. It will not comfort us in trouble. It will never sustain us in death. It will never atone for us in judgment. And it'll never deliver our souls from hell. For all that the holy, living God has for a guilty sinner is truly in Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Him. And John wrote, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hands. And these all things are only ours by a living, personal, intimate, God-given union with Jesus Christ. You see, when the manslayer fled from the avenger, the manslayer only found safety when he was in the city. He might know about the city. He may know about its power. He may know about its designation, its duties. But his safety depended on one thing, being in the city. And our safety and deliverance depends on one thing, being in Christ Jesus. And when the flood came, there was no place of safety except in the ark. The judgment of God was upon everything and everyone outside the ark. Mercy, grace, and love was upon the ark, and consequently upon those who were in the ark. And you can be sure of this. I don't even know how to estimate the number that will be in glory out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. But there has to be billions. Literally billions of the heavenly host. And out of those billions in that glorified throng, that heavenly host in the kingdom of our God, there will not be one single voice, not one note that will not be praising Jesus Christ alone. Not one voice, not one tongue, not one note that will not be ascribing to Him all that we are, all that we have, and all that we enjoy. Unto Him who loved us. and loosed us from our sins by his own precious blood. For God said, every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue. Now you think about that. Every tongue. How many knees and how many tongues? Well, a number that no man can number, known only to God. But every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of redemption. And in this chapter before us tonight, this first chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul declares that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. They're not in the church, they're not in religion, they're not in the law. They're in Christ. And all covenant mercies are in Christ. And sonship, adoption. We talk about God being our Father and our being sons of God. That's all in Christ. Out of Christ, we're not sons of God. We don't even know God. Redemption and forgiveness in Christ. Truth and knowledge in Christ. Eternal inheritance in Christ. In fact, this whole chapter is summed up in verse 6, the last five words, last four words, accepted in the Beloved. That's the sum and substance of this whole chapter, accepted. Not acceptable, as Brother Chapman said one time, but accepted in the Beloved, his Beloved. Hymn writer wrote it this way, and this is one of my favorite songs. In the Beloved, accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high, saved from all sin through his infinite grace, and with the redeemed ones accorded a place. In the Beloved, how safe my retreat. In the Beloved, accounted complete. Who can condemn me? In him I'm free. Savior and keeper forever is he. For in the Beloved, I went to the tree. And there in his person, by faith, I can see infinite wrath rolling over his head. Infinite grace. He died in my stead. In the Beloved, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in that wonderful place, and God sees my Savior, and then he sees me. In the Beloved, I'm accepted. I'm praised. Look at verse 1 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was in religion for a long time before he was in Christ. Did you know that? The other night up at Dingus on Monday night, one of the men read, if you'll turn over there, hold Ephesians 1 and turn back to Galatians 1. And I noticed while he was reading, Paul twice referred to this Jewish religion in which he lived. Galatians 1 verse 13, he said here in Galatians 1 13, you heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion, in the Jews' religion. That's what I was in, the Jews' religion. What were we in? Well, I was in the southern religion, fundamental religion. Some of you are in Eastern Kentucky religion, and Eastern Kentucky has got more religion than any place on God's earth. Religious, religious, religious. Paul said, I was in the Jews' religion. And verse 14, and I profited in the Jews' religion. He kept talking about this religion. But verse 15, but when it pleased God, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he revealed his son in me. I tell you, it doesn't matter what religion you're in or whose religion you're in. If you're not in Christ, you have no peace and no grace and no hope. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, you who are in Christ, grace be to you. Grace is in Christ, and peace be to you. The only place that a person can find any peace is in Christ Jesus. I sort of hate to read this letter tonight, but I'm going to read it. I have a letter here that I received a couple of days ago. This is 1989, Eastern Kentucky, Holiness Pentecostal, Fundamental Baptist, Free Will Religion, right here. I want you to listen to this. And there's no peace here. You're going to hear what this person says at the end of this letter. And this person addresses me as my beloved pastor. And the amazing thing, this person says, I enjoy your program on television. You explain the word so plain that I have no trouble understanding. But I'll tell you the kind of person I am. And will you give me your honest opinion on the subject? No anticipating. Now, this is sad. This will make you cry. I read my Bible. Oh, I've been a little slack this winter. But I live by the Bible as well as I think any person can. I'm not greedy. I don't envy anyone. If I'm ever hurt, I forgive freely. I never in my life have ever carried a grudge. I help people in every way I can. Not physically much, as I have a handicap. But I help money-wise when I have it, doing without things myself to help others. I could use it myself at times. I pray and I have faith and God hears me. I can't pray like a lot of people I've heard because my prayer is a simple prayer. And usually the same prayer. Do you think God wants us to pray different all the time? I have a sister-in-law whose every few words is praise the Lord. I can't do that. But I do thank Him dozens of times each day for His love, His help, and His care. But I have no joy. Why, you couldn't have any joy. And what I used to call happiness, I don't have. You couldn't have. Not in your works. And so I worry. I worry. Doing the best I can, what if I still miss heaven? I didn't make this up. I'm reading a letter to you. These secretaries and tape directors read this before I did. Now, I'm not boasting. These are facts about myself. Will you now tell me what you think? Am I God's child? No. My friends, there's no peace in works. There's grace, mercy, and peace in Christ. And we can put on these. Listen, here's what I picked up some of these things. Grace. Paul says here in verse 2, grace to you and peace. Which comes before peace? Grace does. Always in the salutations, the apostle said what, Cecil? Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, how good, how great, how free. Grace, how easy to be found. Only let your misery in the Savior's blood be drowned. Grace, first inscribe my name in God's eternal book. Grace gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray. Grace made my eyes overflow. Grace has kept me to this day, and grace will not let me go. That's why I have peace. Grace, listen, what one old author said, grace will complete what grace began. To save from sorrow and from sin. And the work that God's grace undertakes, eternal mercy will never, never, never forsake. His grace is His grace given to us in His Son. All right, verse 3. Bless God. Bless God for His grace, and bless God for the peace and joy and rest of heart and soul that comes because of that grace. Blessed be God. Bless God because He is God. If you can't find any reason to praise God, just praise God because He's God. He's worthy to be praised. Bless God. Bless God because, listen, bless God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said this, God's mercy to us is not the results of Christ's coming. You never thought that, did you? God's mercy to us is not the results of Christ's coming. God's mercy to us is the reason why Christ came. God's love preceded the coming of His Son, for God so loved He gave His Son. Christ didn't come down here to get God in the notion of loving us. He came because Christ did love us. God fully intended to bless us. That's why Christ came. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God. And bless God because He's God. Bless God because He's the Father and giver of our Lord Jesus Christ. And bless God because He's blessed us. He's blessed us. And He's blessed us. And don't count your blessings by your bank account. Don't count your blessings by your number of children you have. Don't count your blessings. Those are blessings. I know that. Don't count your blessings by the health physically that you have. Count your blessings as they are given to you in spiritual blessings. That's what He's talking about. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You see, spiritual blessings are heavenly blessings. And those are the blessings that count. They come from heaven. They are of a heavenly nature, and they lead to heaven. And notice this, God, past tense, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. They are ours. Justification, sanctification, redemption, wisdom, righteousness. All these things are heavenly blessings, and God has given them to us already. They're already ours in Christ, already ordained, already purchased, already prepared. Christ has already gone to heaven and taken possession for us. They're our blessings already. Someone said one time, all that heaven can bestow and all that heaven can require. Now you think about that. All that heaven can bestow and all that heaven can require is already ours in Christ Jesus. That's right. That's where the peace is. That's where the assurance, that's where the confidence is. Nothing you do has anything to do with these blessings. God hath blessed us. Bless God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings that heaven can bestow and all spiritual blessings that heaven can require already in Christ. Already. Now look at verse 4. The grace of God in Christ Jesus for sinners is not without means. Now that's what we're coming right here, not without means. God has purposed it. The Lord Jesus Christ has purchased it. God purposed it. The Lord Jesus purchased it. But the Holy Spirit applies these spiritual blessings. The grace of God is not without means. God, who has determined the end, there is an end, there is a goal, there is a kingdom. And God, who declares the end from the beginning, also has determined and ordained and purposed the means to accomplish that end. And the means to accomplish that divine purpose. And in these next few verses, you have those means spelled out. All right, let's look at it carefully for just a few moments. Verse 4. According as He, the Father, hath chosen us in Christ. The Father chose us. Cecil read in the study a few moments ago, our Lord was speaking in John 15 to His disciples, and He said, "You didn't choose Me. I chose you." God chose us. Don't ever apologize for God's elective grace. And my friends, election is not the sinner's enemy, it's the sinner's best friend. Election doesn't keep people out of heaven, it's only by His elective grace anybody's going to be in heaven. If He had not loved us, we wouldn't have loved Him. If He had not chosen us, we wouldn't have chosen Him. If He had not elected us, we would not have elected Him. God chose us. He chose us. And He chose us in Christ. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then chose His people in their head. We were chosen in Christ. God has never loved us, never considered us, except in Christ. We've never been considered outside of Christ. The believer has never been outside of Christ. When God's mind and purpose was first set on you by name, His sheep, it was in Christ. Never apart from Christ. Isn't that right, John? That's exactly. He chose us in Christ. When? Not when you believed, not when you accepted Jesus, not when you were born again. God did this before the foundation of the world. God can't learn anything new. God knows all things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. There's nothing surprises God Almighty. The song says there's a new name written in glory. Better not be. I hear preachers say when you walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus, God dipped His pen in the blood of Christ and wrote your name in the book of life. That can't be the God who knows all things. The book of life is the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, my friends. Let's not compromise the character of God to prove our doctrines. Let's not belittle God and make Him an impotent God in order to give man some dignity. Let's not suffer, make the character of God suffer at man's expense. Let God be God, whatever the result. Let God be God, whatever the consequences. Let God be God, whatever men believe. Let God be God, and every man be a liar. Worship begins with God. Life begins with God. Hope begins with God. Salvation begins with God. So you got to find the right God. I saw a man driving down the street today in a truck. And he had on the front of his truck, "I love my Jesus." I know you do, and everybody loves theirs. That's not the issue. It's not what you think of your Jesus, it's what you think of this Jesus. It's not what you think of your God. People say, "I love my God. I worship my God." I know that. That's normal. You love your wife. You love your children. You love yourself. And you love your God. But the man that's been blessed of heaven is a man that loves the living God, not his God. That's right. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Charlie said this, not because we were holy. There's none good, none holy, none righteous, none that understandeth, none that seeketh God. He chose us that we should be holy. And Christ is the one who made us holy. And He chose us that we should be without blame before Him, before God, in love, having predestinated us. God the Father predestinated us to the adoption of children. God predestinated us to be sons. God predestinated us to be children. God predestinated us to be a part of the bride of Christ. And he did it by Jesus Christ. And he did it to his own glory, to himself. And he did it not according to your will, but according to the good pleasure of his own will. There's only one free will in this universe, and that belongs to God. Every other will is bound by sin. God's will is free. God can do what God will do. God can do what's according to God's nature. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Is anything too hard for God? He predestinated us. He predetermined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, for the glory of Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted. Past tense, accepted. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Accepted, past tense, in the beloved. That's what you preached them, in the beloved. That's where the mercies are. That's where the blessings are, in the beloved. In the beloved. All right, what did the beloved do? These are the means. You see, that's where we start. The means. God determined. And God accomplished these means in his purpose, in his plan, as you said a moment. Here's the plan. It's his plan. Thank God he included me. Now here's the Son's purchase. In whom? Now he made us accepted in the beloved. In whom, this beloved, we have redemption. Not we have it if we do something, we have it. Not we have it if we make it possible, or we make it effectual, or we make it work by our belief. No, we have it. We have it through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. There's nothing we have contributed to it. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. He is God's wisdom and power and prudence. Now watch this. And the Son not only redeemed us as our great priest, but the Son, verse 9, enlightened us. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. He prayed in John 17. He said, those that you gave me, I have manifested your word to them, and they have received it, and they have believed it. Christ revealed the Father to us. Christ revealed the mercy of the Father to us, the grace of the Father to us. We wouldn't have known the Father except the Son revealed him. See, he's the prophet. He's not only the priest who redeemed us, but he's the prophet who teaches us. He's the prophet that enlightens us. Verse 9, he made known unto us this mystery of God's will according to his good pleasure, which God purposed in himself. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in these hearts of ours, giving us a knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, these are means here. God chose us. God predestinated us to be sons. God accepted us. And the Son came and redeemed us. He redeemed us. He didn't say, I've come to try to seek and save. He said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. Paul didn't say, this is a faithful saying, Christ came into the world to save sinners if they'll let him. No, he came to save sinners. He redeemed them, and he enlightened them, every one of them. He enlightened them as to who they are, and who he is, and who God is, and what the law is, and what salvation is, and what the gospel is. And then he enriched us. In verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when all this is over in God's own time, he might gather together in one
all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, those already dead, those already gone, those already in glory, and those which are on earth, even in Him, we shall not all die, but we shall be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. Listen, even in Him, don't miss it, even in Him, in whom that same person, that beloved, that Redeemer, that enlightener, that enricher, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Somebody said, so-and-so's gone to his reward. It's Christ's reward. I'm coming, my reward's with me. He's the one that bought it. He's the heir. We're just joint heirs. We're there because He's there. We participate in God's mercies because He bought them. They're His. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. And God said it's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved for you. You know what something is when it's reserved? If you go into a fancy restaurant tomorrow in the morning, you call them. You're going tomorrow night. You call in the morning. You say, I've got 8 people. And we'll be there for supper at 7 o'clock. You know what they'll do? They'll go and get one of those nice tables with a linen tablecloth and a fancy napkin and the wine glass and the water glass and all these utensils here and the fancy plates, and they'll put a sign right in the middle, reserved, reserved. That's for you. Now listen to me. In heaven, every seat's reserved at the banquet. I guarantee you, every place has a name tag. And it was reserved from before the foundation of the world. And there's names were written there right there. And that inheritance and that glory and that gold and that mercy and blessings was reserved for you before the world began. That's the God of the Bible now. That's what He says. It's reserved in heaven. And it's predestinated, it's reserved, preserved according to the purpose of Him who works everything, all things, after the counsel of His own will. I don't mean to be hard. I just get provoked when this world doesn't believe God's Word. How can you read that and make it mean anything else? How can you talk about our will and my will and free will when He keeps saying according to His will, His will, His will? For the good pleasure of His will, who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, it's of God. We're born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Where is this will we keep talking about today? I don't understand it. The only thing He says about my will is, you will not come to me, that you might have life. And I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus, He redeemed us, He enriched us, He enlightened us. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Now, here we come. Here we come. Preacher, am I just going to wake up in heaven and find out this is all mine? No, sir. No, sir, you're not. No, sir, you're not. Our Lord has no unwilling people. Our Lord has no unloving bride. Our Lord has no unbelieving sheep. All that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. They'll come to me. My sheep will hear my voice, and they'll follow me. And it says here, in whom, but you can't get in this without being in whom. You can forget all this. This dear person here who wrote this letter can forget this. This person's in works. This person's in self-righteousness. This person's in the gall of bitterness. This person's a stranger to God. But I know whom I have believed. It says, in whom you trusted. You trusted Christ. You trusted the Father. You trusted the Son. In whom you trusted. When did you trust? After you heard the word of truth. That's when a man will trust. You can't trust a lie. You can trust the truth. This person, after all this, says, I have no joy. I have no peace. How could a person have peace when the house is built on the sand? That'd be like living in a trailer on the top of the mountain with a tornado coming. How could you have any peace? But if you're in the rock, let her blow. Let her blow. In whom you trusted after you heard the truth, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation. In whom? Here we keep on saying this. This in whom? Christ. Also, after you believe. Do you believe? Do I believe? Oh, God help my unbelief. I do believe. After you believed Christ, believed His Word, believed His Gospel, you were sealed. Permanently sealed. Beyond spoiling. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Those are means. That's the means of grace. That's the means of grace. And that Holy Spirit of promise which God gives to us, shedding abroad His love in our hearts by that same Spirit, is the earnest, is the token, is the pledge of this inheritance I've been talking about. Until. See, I got a ways to walk yet. I got a ways to go. I got some rocky roads. Some floods and some rain and some darkness and some loneliness and trouble. But He's given me His Holy Spirit as a pledge. He's given me His Word. He's given me His promises. And it's a pledge until the redemption of that purchased possession, until that day when we'll awake with His likeness. And all that is to the praise of His glory. His glory. I'm just confident that a man who praises Christ in glory is going to learn that song down here. I really do. I really do. And that's what we're celebrating here tonight. The broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. And we're saying as we, and this table is not just for people whose names are on this church roll. I've told you that many times. Because this roll is not the Lamb's Book of Life. This table is for those whose names are written in the Book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And all who are here tonight who can give agreement with this gospel which has been preached. It's the gospel of Christ. He loved us and He gave Himself for us. It's His broken body and His shed blood by which I have life, in whom we have redemption. And as I take this bread, it's not a ritual. I hate to even call it an ordinance. It's all right. But it's a fellowship, is what it is, the fellowship of Christ. And I take this bread and I say, I believe that His body was broken for me. By His stripes I'm healed. And I take this wine, and which represents His blood. It's not His blood, it represents His blood. And I take this wine and I say, I believe His blood cleanseth me from all sin. His blood maketh atonement for my soul. His blood reconciles me to God. His blood is my hope. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And Paul said here before the men's service in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me, in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. I show what? I don't show my faith. I don't show my faithfulness. I show his death for me, his faithfulness, his mercy, his grace, my total dependence on him. That's what I'm saying. And God is my witness, and I believe you can say the same thing, that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. All right, service.